Etsy was such a fascinating experience for me. And I know for me, I have a history where I worked in movie theaters, so I've gotten accustomed to testing assisted devices in terms of closed captioning, in terms of descriptive audio. And so a movie like this that has that baked into the DNA of the film is such a fascinating concept. What was the inspiration behind that choice?
It's a great question. So I've been working with people in the visually impaired community through both fiction and nonfiction films for the past year and a half or so. Before then, I knew nothing about AD, audio description. And, you know, obviously I'm thinking you can't make it about them without them, right? So obviously I want to make sure that my films are accessible to the people I'm making it about. And the more I thought about it, for At Sea, really, you know, being on the cruise and being every day with the travelers who a lot of them became really good friends, this idea of incorporating the audio description not as an option, not as an add-on, but as something that is fully a part of the experience kind of just made sense.
So there's just so much that I learned, and that you know, you experience the world quite differently. Or I started watching content with audio description just to kind of understand what, as a sighted viewer, I would be missing if it wasn't for the audio description, or if it wasn't for the visuals. And so because At Sea is a movie that really puts in the spotlight people with visual impairment and how they're experiencing the world, in this case, a cruise in the Caribbean, it just kind of made sense to make the sighted audience understand that viewpoint in a way.
Yeah, and I know when it first began, I mean, I think for me, one of the things that I was a bit nervous about was, is it going to feel like there's so much going on? Because you have the closed captions at the bottom, you have the descriptive from the narration on top, and then you have her voice, and then you have your narrator's actual voice on describing it. It feels, it could almost be overwhelming. And one of the things I was most impressed about with this film is that you treated, especially the descriptive audio, you treated it exactly as it is when you're listening to it, which is basically the descriptions are essentially going to be out of the way of the dialogue. And it's just describing what you're seeing. And I was very impressed by how the film juggled all of those elements. It had to have been a complex dance when it comes to editing it and then putting the final product together.
Absolutely. It was, I think you nailed it. Juggling was definitely the right word. But it, you know, it's something that since we kind of had this idea from very early on in the editing process of incorporating the audio description, you know, my editor, Chris Nyang, started to edit with his eyes closed, which obviously is very unusual. And, you know, at some point we're like, I was already working with Nefertiti on different projects, and she was a friend, and I had heard her at different panels and really talk about accessibility not as an afterthought, but as something that should be thought about, you know, in the creative process. Mm-hmm. And so I called her up and I'm like, hey, can you, you know, come in and tell us what we're doing right and tell us what we're doing wrong here and how to make this as accessible and as important as we think it should be. And so you know, Nefertiti always says that audio description is an art form, and that really manifested itself, because it gets really tricky in the sense that you need to describe so many things that we as sighted audiences see, and there's just not enough time. So you can choose to pause the image, which we've done a couple of times in ATSI, but wanted to stay away from as much as possible also because we were very aware of you know, time constraints and wanted to make sure that the film wouldn't be over 15 minutes. So that was one thing. And it's finding the words that are the most descriptive and that are the shortest. Two, it's figuring out where to put those words. Do you put, if you're saying who's speaking, do you put it as they're speaking, right before, right after, during? How do you make sure that it doesn't interfere with the audio, with the dialogue? And, you know, we were watching the cut and we're realizing that there's a bunch of images, a bunch of moments that aren't described. And, you know, I'm right there and I feel bad. And I'm like, Nefertiti, like, I don't know how to do this. Like, there's just too much and too little time. She's like, hey, Serena, like, this happens all the time. This is the norm. As people with visual impairment, we're so used to not having anything described to us. We know that we're missing a bunch. So, you know, what our way around that was, for instance, if there's a bunch of quick shots of the ship, because most of the film takes place on a very big cruise ship, of like the activities on the ship, instead of being unable to describe any of them because they're just too quick, we say a montage of ship activities, right? It doesn't necessarily describe everything in there, but it does give the information that that is what's on screen. So it gives the vibe that a sighted viewer has as well. So it's really coming up, I think, with compromises and not kind of giving up and being like, no, this is going to be too much of a juggling act. This is going to be too complicated. It's okay if it's not 100% audio described. It can't be. That's just kind of the way it is. But there is very creative ways to describe and to make it, you know, part of the narrative and to really kind of enhance the movie. And that's become a really interesting, like mental exercise.
Yeah. I think for a lot of people, the idea of a cruise for blind people feels very unusual. Because so much of, if you've ever been on a cruise, you know, so much of the experience is visual. How did you come to be aware that was something that took place?
Sure. So I just want to specify that this wasn't a cruise for individuals with blindness. It was really a commercial cruise with like 5,500 passengers. Mm-hmm. And they just happened to be a group called All Paws on Deck of visually impaired travelers traveling on that specific sailing with their guide dogs. So it was mostly, you know, sighted travelers and just a small group of visually impaired travelers. The way I came to it is actually quite beautiful. I was working on a narrative film titled Babka, which I recently completed, which is also doing the festival circuit, which is a fiction film about a Jewish Hasidic baker who loses his sight and needs to get a guide dog in a community that is absolutely not used to pets. And through researching the subject and the matter of guide dogs and what, you know, not just the training of guide dogs, but really what it's like the first few days where a guide dog comes to their new home after they've been paired and matched with their handler. I connected with a gentleman named Frank Sr., who's a jazz singer here in New York. And him and I became really good friends. We're actually making a documentary about his life and his music together. And he told me, he's like, yo, Serena, there's this cruise I'm going on with my dog and my wife, Millie. And I have, you know, a bunch of blind friends that are going on there with their dogs. Do you want to come with us? Because he knew I was just really interested in guide dogs and visual impairment. And I was like, Frank, yeah, absolutely. Also, that sounds like a movie. And I think, you know, I just kind of followed my instinct. Because it just, yeah, it's whenever do you see 60 dogs on a ship, like in the Caribbean, like that doesn't happen, you know? It's incredibly rare. And I really wanted to be part of this experience as someone who was working on the subject of guide dogs and training, etc. I thought that it would really enhance my research and kind of my firsthand understanding of both the dogs and the handlers, just writing a fiction piece about them. But also as a documentarian, you know, I obviously took my camera and ended up being a standalone film.
After you kind of decide, oh, this could be a movie, when did you decide that this was the way you wanted to tell the movie?
That's a good question. I think fairly early on, if I'm not misremembering, you know, as we were shooting it, the whole idea of obviously we're going to have audio description, that was a given. But the idea of really incorporating it, if I'm not mistaken, came when we were still on the ship. And then really the work with Nefertiti of like incorporating it as part of the narrative and then have her be on screen. So we audience become aware that there is a narrator, right? She's not like this, just a voice. She's an actual human who is describing the story to us. That came fairly on in post-production. You know, it's very tricky when, I mean, for any documentary, but I think we were, you know, we shot for 7 days on the ship. You know, and this was mostly kind of improvised and following, you know, it's a big group besides Frank and his wife. We knew no one. So you end up with so much footage. And honestly, I mean, the people that we met and we didn't even get to talk to everybody were just such interesting characters and had it. What was beautiful is that people really wanted to talk to us. They wanted to share their experience with us. I think they felt happy that the camera was finally pointed at them and that people cared about their lives and their stories. You know, so they could be a feature film about every single one of these passengers. But at some point you have to, you know, to make decisions. And we knew that we wanted to keep it short, just because, you know, shorter short films tend to do better on the festival circuit. So we knew it was going to be around 15 minutes. And it was a lot of trial and error and cutting and recutting and trying different things. And, you know, seeing how Nefertiti's kind of narration would fit into all of it. But it was done, her narration was done in parallel with the editing of the film. So it wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't, we didn't cut the film based on her narration. It was really a like hand in hand process. And Nefertiti was had several cuts, obviously, and she came. So we would describe to her what was on screen, and she would ask questions that basically gave us the answers and on how to write the script. For instance, we're like, oh yeah, there's a drone footage of like the ship. She's like, what kind of ship is it? It's big. Is it like giant? Is it enormous? Is it, you know? And it's just, it's kind of figuring out when you're describing things to people who can't see, it's just, you just get very quickly used to using a more specific vocabulary. Right? The ship is big, it's enormous. Saying that there's a roller coaster on it, it tells you the type of ship that it is or the type of vacation that it is. So it just, you know, describing colors is important, or there's just a bunch of stuff that as sighted people we might not think about. And just having spent so much time on the cruise and also beforehand with blind friends, that has taught me a lot. But then, you know, also making sure to have someone who is blind themselves to tell us, hey, this is like a way to describe that makes sense, and this is a way to describe that might not make as much sense, and to make sure that, you know, the people that it was about were involved in front and behind the camera.
Well, that sounds, yeah, that is a fantastic, it sounds like a really enriching experience when it comes to making a film. And I mean, certainly
it truly was.
And I mean, certainly making a film like this that is not only about the people that it's about, but the fact that you've made it in a way that they would be able to experience it themselves and feel like they would be able to enjoy it and not feel like they're missing anything. I think that is that makes it just extremely special in that respect.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, representation is, and I'm sure there's things that I'm not getting right yet, and I'm here to learn. But you know, you can't. I don't think you can. Representation is so important. And then if you're representing people on screen who don't have access to themselves on screen, then it's just kind of exploitation. So, you know, that became very clear to us pretty early on. But it was really through research and through going to panels and just, like, I was so incredibly grateful of how open people were with me. You know, I asked, quote unquote, the stupid or the ignorant questions, because a year and a half ago, I didn't know anyone with visual impairment. And now, like, a lot of my friends are visually impaired and people I make movies with and collaborate with and go to jazz clubs with. So it's just there's I think, a much bigger need for dialogue between the two communities. And just like, don't be afraid to ask questions, because if we don't start asking, then there's never going to be dialogue. It's very hard to make any kind of connection if we don't talk, if we don't start the conversation.
No, absolutely. Well, Serena, thank you very much for making this film, and thank you very much for bringing it to the Atlanta Film Festival. I'll be very interested to see what the overall reaction is going to be for it.
Me too. I really, really look forward to the festival. I'll be coming there with my own medical alert dog. And the film is screening on Sunday, the 27th of April at 3 p.m. So I look forward to seeing Atlanta and meeting the audience.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much for your time today. I was really a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate your time and your interest.